I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Diane Britsky is our very special guest, and she is the author of a very important book, Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. And it is our continuing series with Diane about the environment and what's going on, how people and governments are completely in over their heads and not caring about where we're going. Frank McKay here with Diane Britsky. Diane, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Well, listen, the last time we spoke, we touched on Taiwan, but we haven't spoken in detail about Taiwan. And boy, if there is a devil out there on this earth to the environment, Taiwan is in the running to stake that claim. They are horrible.
Right.
I don't know that there's a law or an ethic on the environment that Taiwan takes seriously. I don't think they're recognizing what's going on there. I don't think they care one bit about the environment. I don't get what they're doing. Address Taiwan for me. Is it just me, or does it just seem like absolute arrogance and destruction of the environment with what their whole policy is?
Well, I agree with you. I think they really don't care. You know, before World War II, probably before World War I, they lived by the ocean. You know, the fishing and that, but that was for survival. You know, the people that are going out now to get the tuna and, you know, but they're overfishing. And that's one thing that Taiwan is doing. Whatever they get in the nets, they keep, whether it's, now they're turning to dolphins. Now this gets me.
Wow.
Not just the whales. And Japan is this is a crime for them because they're going into international waters. Nobody's stopping them. Now Norway goes, not only with the whales, but they're some of them are open season on polar bears, which reminds me, on Facebook, there was a picture of a young woman who had killed a polar bear. Now, it didn't say where she killed it, but they had a comment on there, if you recognize this woman, let us know. What does she get out of a polar bear? You can't eat it.
No,
it's a rug, you know, and this is, what do they call it? It's some kind of hunting where you pay for your license. I mean, look at the two Trump boys, you know, this just gets me so angry.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
They call it trophy hunting.
Trophy. Wow.
Trophy hunting.
Yeah. Well, buy a trophy. I mean,
They don't realize that, yeah, okay, fine. You know, you can have a bear's head or a deer's head, but you're taking it away from the world, no matter where you are. And Taiwan, unfortunately, is taking it from the oceans. You know, they're selling the meat, shark fin soup. They just take the sharks and throw them back in the water. And let any carnivores, if they... Right. It really is. It's unbelievable.
The polar bear. The polar bear situation is just beyond me. I mean, they're a disturbing breed, or what's happened to them is disturbing too, because of the melting of the ice caps, and
they don't believe that's happening.
Oh, I don't know who doesn't believe that. The scientific proof, everywhere you look, is clearly. Is clearly on the side of global warming. I think Mayor Bloomberg, who's the former mayor of New York City, who I know very well, he brought up a great point, and he said, look, there are two theories behind global warming. One is absolutely catastrophic, and the other is just that we've inconvenienced ourselves a little. Why don't we err on the side of caution and just pretend, you know, if you would, that this is absolutely catastrophic to the human race and the planet if we don't follow it. And I think that's pretty good advice. I mean, I think that's a pretty practical view of it. I mean, what are we doing? Diane, what are we doing? Taiwan, go back to that with the sharks, if you would. What Taiwan is doing, I don't know who's in charge of Taiwan. I don't know, you know, the president or the prime minister or whatever, whoever is in charge of Taiwan. But there doesn't seem to be any concern whatsoever of conservation, of what we're taking out of there. And like you said, if they catch a dolphin, they eat a dolphin, or they, you know, a dolphin is one of the smartest animals on the planet. It's a mammal.
Right.
It's and they get caught in tuna nets all the time, and people rightfully so started in, I guess it was the '80s. Do you remember when did this concern come up with the tuna boats and tuna fish with dolphins?
Oh, I think that was in the '80s or before. They had drifting nets, and the boats would just, you know, throw them out with their little boys, and whatever they caught they kept. You know, whether it was a dolphin, a gill nets. So they would harvest in, you know, sea bass or the orange roughy or some kind of fish that they're going to eat, groupers. But whatever was in that net, they kept. And the tuna back then was getting caught. But you're right. Taiwan and Japan, they don't care. It's another view of greed. I don't know how much money they charge for a dinner of sushi, which is raw tuna, which is a different tuna. But it comes down to greed. It's all money making. But to deliberately in the gill nets get a small shark, cut the fin off, and then throw the body back.
And what happens to the body? I mean, is it dead? I mean, they're throwing the dead body back?
Well, another predator will come along. It'll sink to the bottom because, you know, a shark has to keep swimming. It'll sink to the bottom because it can't swim. And another predator, like a barracuda, or if it goes down to the bottom, a crab or a moray eel, whatever, will devour it. You know, and it's not like, well, okay, you know, we buried this animal and it'll go back into the earth and, you know, all of this stuff. I can't see that in the oceans. Now, you mentioned the global warming of the ice, where the coral reefs are. People have seen pictures and videos where that coral that was once beautiful is gray. Now, I found out that the animals that come into the coral reef to eat the algae off, there's a part of the ocean that is warm water because of the sun coming down. And for some reason, when that coral is in warm water, it doesn't reach them so that the algae can grow. And when the algae is growing, that's where they get their colors from. That's how they reproduce. And the coral is dying because of the direct sunlight.
Wow. Just, you know, there's so much that we are just overlooking. And I don't know that we're overlooking. I think some of it is just being purposely disregarded. And because, like you said, that's why I asked. And again, Diane Briskey, if you're just joining us or if you're just turning on your radios, Diane Briskey is our very special guest. And we have a series of shows, and we're talking about the environment. We're talking about not only the wildlife, but how it affects us as a species, and how we as a species are just discarding everything that's everything that we know to be true and to be concerned about gets discarded for the almighty dollar. Diane Briskey, again, is the author of Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction, is our very, very special guest once again. Diane, you mentioned, and that's the reason I asked you, is it was the 80s when we started realizing that we're catching dolphins, indirectly, inadvertently,
right,
catching dolphins in these nets. So you started seeing people get dolphin-free tuna. I know, you know, Chicken of the Sea started putting that label, dolphin-free.
Right,
albacore, right. And they would mention this because there was pressure put on the company. You know, they were going to lose money. It wasn't because they said, oh, you're right, these are wonderful creatures, we don't want to hurt the species. It was because they thought that people were going to react strongly. Dolphins are cute. Dolphins are flipper. Dolphins are these wonderful animals, and we can hug these things and see these things and you know, whatever. It's there are these wonderful creatures. And because they're wonderful creatures and because they look nice and they're friendly, people stood up and people spoke out. And that's where the companies then acquiesced and started concentrating on that. It doesn't seem to matter to Taiwan. It doesn't seem how cute or how important or how crucial to the environment it is. I don't get it. I mean, are there no mental-minded people over there? Is the government so, hardened where they don't allow the people to speak up? What is it about Taiwan? Why is there no activism around Taiwan at a shutting down this kind of practice?
Well, Taiwan has just been in the news lately. So I don't know that much about it. But, you know, like we've spoken on other shows about Japan and especially China, the parts of animals that they use for medicine, the way they treat the moon bears in a cage that's not even 8x5, and they milk them daily for their bile. Their bile is very medicinal, you know. And I said before, I don't knock them. You know, I take herbal medicine, but it's a natural herbal medicine. Doesn't come from an animal. No, you're right. I don't think they have agencies that protect them over there and say, no, we can't do this. You know, you can't do this. We've only got maybe 500 tigers left, you know. I'm not telling them to, you know, to all of a sudden put up a CVS,
right,
you know,
right,
and get the medication from their doctors, because I don't even know if a lot of the older ones and now the younger ones are going towards that kind of medication.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't think they have any guidelines, you know, like IFAW has here in World Wildlife, and some of the other agencies that do have laws. I really don't think the Asian companies care. Well, like I just said, that companies. It all goes down to what sells. You know, and you mentioned the dolphins. The dolphins are one of the ones that would eat the tuna. I think that's what they were angry about, because I guess for a while there was a loss of the tuna. Now, I know that there's another fish that is considered tuna, and I don't know in Hawaii if it's mahi-mahi. But they have the yellow fin and they have the blue fin tuna, so they have a lot of tuna. I don't know where the albacore tuna comes in. But you're right, the companies, you know, well, we're going to lose money if we don't do this because the consumers are out there. I would like to see the new administration be a little bit more stricter with the environment, not just with what we talked before, the oil. But even the laws in the ocean, you know, they say, well, the ocean doesn't belong to anybody. Well, they have international waters where you can't fish or you can't, you know, go after the whales and things like that. Now, they just had, now, I don't know if this has anything to do with pollution or not, but they just had over 300 pilot whales beach themselves.
New Zealand, right? Is that New Zealand?
Yeah, I think it is down in that area. And people out there trying to keep them wet. Now, I know they like any whale travels in a pod. If the lead whale all of a sudden changes direction for some reason, the other ones will follow them. And most of the time they lose their, you know, whales have the echolocation where they find where they're going. And what they're looking into now is the seismic blasting that the Navy or whoever is doing under the ocean. that is knocking that echolocation. So they don't know where they're going. So they could be heading to shore and not know it.
Yeah.
Because they don't realize that that what they're doing, I don't. They haven't taken the time to do the research. You know, why do they have to, you know, it was enough that during the war they had the depth charges. You know, this is what really teased me off about the governments. They're not looking into other things. They don't care. It's what brings in the money. It just boils down to people's greed, and when it affects animals, for those people, the money is worth it, but for the world, it's not. Now, I've talked to you a lot. I consider you a good friend, so I'm going to get serious for a minute.
Please.
And personally, talk to you about the birds and the bees.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows that the bees, the bumblebees and the honeybees are being destroyed by hundreds of thousands. And if they don't know, they're the ones that pollinate not just the flowers, but crops. And farmers depend on that. And now, probably back in the 60s, I think they banned the DDT.
Yep.
Because it was,
I think it was the
70s.
I think it was even the late,
right,
the early
70s. The bug. Yeah, killing the bugs and all that stuff. But it would kill the bug. A bird would eat the bug. The bird would die because that bug had DDT in it. If the bird would die, a coyote would come. You know, it's the food web, would eat the bird, the coyote would die. Now, they have their, I don't know what they're fertilizing it with, but the bees are dropping. And that's going to affect the farmers' crops. It's going to affect flowers. It's already started to affect the various butterflies who also fertilize. And that's going to go for the crops, the flower industry, the food industry, and even the fruit trees. Now, when I was a teacher, and you know, bugs are not my thing. I don't know, a lot of people feel, oh, it's just a bee, who cares,
right.
You know. But anything that crawls, well, you know, bees can sting you and all that, but they have found that, I'm pretty sure that it's honeybees, and somebody did a research on this. They have taken a bee and injected the stinger in somebody who has MS. And they found that is slowing down that process.
Wow.
Yeah, well, naturally the bee's going to die. But it's a lot better than fertilizing everything and killing so many of them. And the butterflies, not just beautiful, but they're out there helping too. So we've got wildlife that are helping us. And praying mantises. You know, yes, they're cute, they're ugly, nobody wants them. They don't realize that they eat the aphids off of roses. Now, when I taught school, the teacher, good friend, taught second grade. She had a little girl bring in a cocoon. They put it in a jar. When it developed and came out of that cocoon, it was the most beautiful Cecropia moth.
Wow.
Beautiful. I had a little girl bring in a cocoon, and I thought, oh, wow, this is really good. I'm going to get some good, like a swallowtail. When it hatched, I must have had a million baby praying mantises.
Wow.
All over my... And I mean, they were tiny. So I had to get the science teacher and say, would you like a whole lot of praying mantises? And he says, yeah. And there were a lot of companies that would buy them and sell them online just for people to dump on their gardens to get rid of the bugs.
Yeah, it used to be, and again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I grew up in the 70s. I was, you know, as a child in the 70s, and we were taught that a praying mantis, it's illegal to kill them. And this is in New York on Long Island, and because they were endangered somehow. I don't know if that's still the case, but do you know anything about that?
No, I haven't heard about any. I know there's protection for some of the insects, and it's like I think they're still doing research on some of them. And you know how I feel about animals helping people. We talked about the poison dart frogs.
Yes.
And now they've been doing research on certain jellyfish. There's some kind of enzyme inside a jellyfish that they can extract, and the research that they've done is coming up with a cure for Alzheimer's, or slowing
wow.
down the process.
Wow.
And you know, and what people don't realize out there is, you know, you yes, well, jellyfish sting you. Okay, fine, but that's the way they survive.
That's an inconvenience to us. That's not devastating. We usually don't die from jellyfish stings or bee stings.
Right.
That's an inconvenience to the people.
Right. It's easier to get rid of it than to do anything. You know, and like we talked on the last show, it's going to be the kids coming out of college now that are going to do investigating in this. They're going to join organizations that do research. The one thing that really made me happy is that SeaWorld closed down their orca shows. Mm. And those orcas were returned. Some of them were returned to the wild. There was one orca that spent 45 years in a tank. Never saw the ocean.
Wow.
So naturally, they couldn't release it because it wouldn't have known what to do.
Yeah.
And now there are agencies that are moving in to get rid of the dolphin show.
Hmm.
And, you know, SeaWorld is noted for that. Yeah, they have walruses and penguins and things like that. But, and that, again, you know, it goes right back to money making. I make money out of, I think it's China, has what they call, it's SOY, I think it's soy, where they have dog mills where they're raising dogs for meat.
Unbelievable.
Now you tell me how disgusting that is to raise those animals. You know, there's organizations, PETA and other organizations that are going there and trying to shut them down as much as they try to shut down the puppy mills. That's disgusting.
Outrageous. I mean, it's almost, at this point, it's almost cannibalism. Dogs are so ingrained in our society. They're so helpful. You're talking about dogs are trained to help the elderly and the disabled,
yes.
Children that need, you know, if the use that you can figure out for a dog is to eat it, you're not trying hard enough.
That's right. And, well, naturally, you know, I don't know what kind of meat China has, but they raise goats. I know you're going to Africa. Goats and cattle are the biggest thing over there. I don't know what kind of meat they have in Japan. You know, the rice. I mean, they're all natural seaweed and rice and things like that. But it seems to me that they're taking advantage of things that they really should not be looking into. Well, it's like the oil companies. Well, we can't find the oil on the land, so we either move up to the mountains or what's left? We'll go to the ocean. They don't care. As long as ka-ching, the register goes and the stock market goes up. That's where it all boils down to. They just don't give a damn.
They don't. It's disgusting. It's just a disgusting. You know, I like to end on a positive note always, but you can't always do that. I mean, I think the people listening to these shows, and there's a series of shows with Diane Britsky and myself, and again, Diane is the author of Now You See Me From Endangered to Extinction. There is no other reason to write this book other than to educate. And to, it's not, you can be entertained by things in it for sure, but it's to educate and it's to wake us up that we are We are hurting ourselves. We're hurting future generations, and it's a permanent hurt. It's not something that that will go away quickly. The next generation, hopefully people listening to us, and whether you're a politician and or whether you're coming out and you hate politicians, whatever it is, you have to put pressure on the companies. You have to put pressure on the politicians to stop this, and not sometime in the future, immediately stop this. Diane, any closing thoughts?
Yes, I want to. I got a very nice email the other day complimenting me on the series that we're doing, what I've been saying, and told me to keep up the good work. And I just want to send a big thank you to Andy, if he's listening. That was very nice. I really appreciated that comment.
You know, I get so many responses on this. People care, Diane. People absolutely care about what's going on. We need to hit some of them over the head, and the politicians,
yeah,
and the corporate bigwigs. Thank you very much for sharing all of this information.
Oh, you're
welcome. Just wonderful.
You know, I always like talking to you.
Well, listen, we'll talk when I get back from Africa, and we'll exchange notes and see where we go from there. Diane Britsky, thank you very much, and thank you all for listening. Let us all get behind this effort. Again, the name of the book is Now You See Me, from Endangered to Extinction. Diane Britsky is the author, and my co-host on this series of thoughts. And please binge listen to them all. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.